Greetings, friends and listeners, and welcome to this program of the R.G. Hardy Ministries as we come your way proclaiming, souls are crying and men are dying. Won't you help us to win the lost? This is Sister Sharon Knotts, and on today's program, I will be ministering a special message entitled, Nail It to the Cross. Now, normally my dad, Brother Hardy, would be preaching, but he wants me to share with you this powerful truth that the cross is greater than the curse. This revelation totally revolutionized my own life, and I know it will yours too. Your eyes will be open to see that everything that is part of the curse, Jesus has nailed to his cross. Stay tuned, because at the end of the program, I'll tell you how you can get a copy of this message, Nail It to the Cross.
But he said, thou shalt not eat of this tree, for in the day that you do, you shall surely die. God the Creator speaking to his creation. God the Father, the parent, speaking to his child. God, he's the righteous judge, speaking to us. God the potter, speaking to us, the clay. He said, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day you shall surely, you shall certainly. I want you to understand this. There's nothing about this that I want you to misunderstand. I want you to know the consequence of your cause. If you do, you shall surely die. So we see that as time went on, I won't read this, but you know what happened. You know that a serpent was there. Satan came. He beguiled Eve. He told her, oh, go ahead and just taste of that tree. And he took the word of God and he manipulated it a little bit. And that's how the devil comes. He will come with a little bit of truth. A little bit of truth is more dangerous than all lie. Because a little bit of truth will deceive you. And he came and began to manipulate the word of God. And he said, God did not say in the day that you shall surely die. And even Eve, she got caught up in the beguilement. She said, God said we shouldn't eat it, lest we die. Well, lest is a lot weaker than surely. How many know lest is a whole lot weaker than surely? Lest means, well, perhaps you will, maybe you will, you might. But surely means don't be mistaken, you shall. And so we know that the serpent beguiled Eve, and she ate of the tree, and she beguiled her husband, and he ate of the tree. And now we have the first cause. We have sin. We have disobedience because they trespassed. And you know what? The word trespass means that you break a known law. And if no one has it posted, thou shalt not trespass, and you walk on that property and it's not posted, you don't know you didn't break a law. But if there's a sign up there that says, thou shalt not trespass, no trespassers here, and you do, then you're subject to the penalty of the law. And God had laid down the law and said, thou shalt not. But they disobeyed God and they ate of the tree. Now we have the cause. Now let's speed ahead to the effect and the consequence. Chapter 3, verse 19. No, I'm sorry, it was verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid. The first thing that happens when someone disobeys the known law of God that he knows, he becomes afraid. And so fear that God never intended Adam and Eve to experience now has come into the picture. To the point that he hid himself. He said what? He said, I was afraid. Somebody read that next word. Because. Somebody say because. Because I was naked. And so I hid myself. Isn't that what he said? And what did God say? And God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you that thou shouldest not eat? Now here's what I like to call the first blame game. And mankind has perfected it today. He's got the blame game down real good now. They even use it in courts of law today. Every day they use it and get away with it. The most preposterous, ridiculous defenses you ever heard in your life. But they get away with them. It all started right here in the garden, the first blame game. Say that a couple times. So God said, have you eaten of the tree that I commanded you not to eat? Now, how many know that that requires a yes or no answer? It's real simple. Yes or no. But that's not what God got. He didn't get a yes or no answer back. What did he get? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. So here we have the first time the blame game is used. By what he said, he threw out their blame so that, you know, that's what a lot of the defense lawyers do today, or especially like in medical malpractice suits. They will sue the doctor, the anesthesiologist, the nurse, the hospital that you had the operation in. They'll sue them all. Why? They want to throw a whole lot of blame out there and hope it'll stick to somebody. Hope that at least one of them will be found culpable and have to pay up. So they'll sue everybody that was even in the room at the time that you had the problem, in hopes that when you get to court and they throw enough blame out there, that it'll stick to somebody. And so that's kind of what Adam did. He said, the woman that you gave me. So he's throwing some out there, the woman, and God, after all, you're the one who gave me the woman. How many say amen? Instead of saying, yes, I ate of the tree. Yes, I trespassed your law. But he said, oh, well, it was the woman's fault. And besides, if you'd have never given me the woman in the first place. How many see how it works? And let's look at the next verse. And the Lord God said unto the woman, well, what is this that thou hast done? And now the woman, she's a quick learner. And she said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So she threw it off on the serpent. But look, it's very interesting. We do not find in the next verse that God said to the serpent, and what hast thou done beguiling this woman like this? Do you see it in your Bible? No. Why? Because the serpent did exactly what he intended to do. And Jesus made it very clear in the New Testament in John 10:10. He said, Satan is nothing but a thief. And he's come to steal, to kill, and destroy your life. That's what Satan came to do. And he set out to do it from the very first day in the garden. And that's his agenda. And if you don't know that by now, then you're very foolish. Because that's all that Satan wants to do, is destroy your life. No matter how he comes, no matter how beguiling he is, no matter what he uses as a lure, behind that lure is the same hook. And he's out for one thing. And that's to destroy your life. So God did not turn to the serpent and say anything. He didn't say, what are you doing? Because the serpent had done exactly what he intended to do. Now, if you read on in the rest of the chapter, you find out that because of this, God said, because you have done this thing, he had to drive them out of the garden. He sent them forth out of that beautiful paradise that he had given to them, that they were to be in that garden and enjoy its beauty and enjoy all of the blessings. But God said, now we have the cause. What's going to happen? What happens when you have the cause? The curse. The curse. Let's turn to verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed. The first time we have the word curse in the Bible. Thou art cursed above all cattle. And it's interesting, I'm not going to go into this, but notice that he was put in the same category as cattle. And above every beast of the field, upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow, and the word sorrow in here means great pain. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall have rule over thee. All the women say, thanks a lot, Eve. Amen. It's because of her that you're in labor for 24 hours. Wasn't supposed to be like that. How many of the animals do you see laboring for 20, 36 hours crying out in agony? No, only us. Thanks to Eve. Verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee. Now notice he did not say to the woman, I commanded thee. He said, but I commanded thee, because God gave the commandment to Adam. Thou shalt not eat of it. What? Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. All the men say, thanks a lot, Adam. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of the dust thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. Everybody say, thanks a lot, Adam.
Thanks a lot, Adam.
So we have the cause, and now we have the curse. How many say amen? So we find here that because they trespassed God's law, they brought the curse upon themselves. But that's not all of it. The bad thing is they not only brought the curse upon themselves, but they brought the curse upon you and me and all their posterity. How many see that? And so that's the bad news. Because Adam sinned and he disobeyed God, God held all of his seed. From that point on, all of us were in the same predicament that he was in, and we have come under the curse. Because some of you might be thinking, well, I don't know what that's got to do with me. And if you read on, you'll find out that they had sons, Cain and Abel. And what happened? Cain rose up and killed his brother Abel. And when he did, he went and dug a hole and hit his brother in the ground. But God spoke and said, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. What have you done? And then he turned and he said, because of this, now cursed is the ground for your sake. So now we have another curse coming on the ground. Everybody say, thanks a lot, Cain.
Amen. Friends, I trust that you are being blessed by this devil-chasing message, Nail It to the Cross. I am so excited to share this truth with you because this revelation was the catalyst for deliverance and victory in my own life, and I continue to walk in it every day. And it boils down to this, the cross is greater than the curse. When Adam and Eve sinned, they brought curses not only upon themselves, but upon all their posterity. The Bible says, the curse causeless shall not come. The cause is sin, and we were all born in sin, and we're all under the curse. Now, if you can remove the cause, you will break the curse. Galatians 3:13 says, but Christ hath redeemed us from the curse, being made a curse for us. For as it is written, cursed is he that hangs on a tree. Jesus had to hang on the cross, and there he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. That's the written evidence, the cause that proved our guilt and brought the curse. And he nailed it to his cross. Then he publicly spoiled and legally stripped Satan of any right to bring it on us again. Now it is up to you and to me to see every sin, sickness, disease, fear, torment, depression, addiction, and all demonic oppression nailed to the cross in Jesus' name. You have to get this message, not because I preached it, but because it is the truth that the devil hopes you never get in your spirit. The complete message is available on CD or cassette tape for your love gift of $10 or more. Ask for offer SK120 and specify if you want CD or tape. Send to Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203, or go online to rghardy.org.